Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
200 Ukrainian refugees, including families with children, have been moved this morning from their hotel accommodation in Clondalkin in Dublin, where they have been living since March. Children who have been attending school in the area and families who have put down roots were emotional today as they boarded buses, taking them to accommodation in Cork, Limerick and Donegal. RTE's Evelyn O'Rourke spent some time in Clondalkin today speaking to mothers as they prepared to leave on the coaches. So let's take a listen to Evelyn speaking to Marina and her two-year-old son.
You've been in Ireland since for how long?
I've been in Ireland since April.
Okay, and you're here with your beautiful two-year-old boy.
Yes, I'm here with my son. He's 2 years old. Yes.
And you are very sad to leave. You're going to Limerick.
Let me explain. We left our house in Kyiv, and it was a stressful situation for all of us and for a baby, because baby had his house. My husband is in the military forces of Ukraine now. It is double stress for him. Now we live here and we get a second home here. But I understand that I shouldn't complain. There are many of Ukrainians here, and Ireland help us outstandingly, really. And I really appreciate. And first of all, I want to say thank you. Whether it will be this place or other, just thank you for your help. And this is the main thing. But the second thing is that I have a little child, and I'm here not for myself. I will stay with my husband, you know. I'm here just for him, and he used to have this second home, and now it is a little bit stressful. I'm sorry. And now he needs to change it to the third place, you know. It's a little bit stressful.
And he started
He started
kindergarten in Dublin,
yes.
And now you're moving.
He started kindergarten. It is the most warm place in the world, you know, because Irish is very warm and kind people.
You're getting onto the coach now here.
We are going to leave, yes, yes.
So you have your bag and your little dog.
Yes, a little dog, yes.
And your beautiful child.
Yes, he's a very brave boy.
Very brave.
Yes, he's more strong as me.
Tell me how you feel.
I'm okay now. I did not sleep this night and previous one, and it is a little bit stressful situation, like moving, and he is sick a little bit. All this together.
You don't want to leave Dublin.
Of course I don't want, because we used to live here. I have many friends here, and we have this kindergarten I told you about. But again, I should not complain. And I don't want to complain. If we need to go to Limerick, we will go. This is my message, main message. Because, I'm really thankful for this help.
Well, that was Marina speaking to RTE's Evan O'Rourke a little earlier on today as she prepared to get on the coach to go to Limerick. Angie Goff is CEO of Helping Irish Hosts, and she's been working in the local community as all of this has unfolded. She joins us now on the line, and we're also joined by RTE reporter Laura Fletcher, who can give us the latest on the situation. And Laura, I might come to yourself first. Have all those buses left the Ibis Hotel in Clondalkin now? Is everyone gone?
I believe so, Sarah. There were just the last really remaining bus there was being packed up around 5 o'clock. But most of throughout the day, buses have been, you know, parking out in front of the hotel. People have been coming with their cases, with all their belongings. And the cargo holds have been packed to capacity, you know, bags full of belongings, scooters, you know, everything that people have had as they have been living there in the hotel. And we know that, we're hearing about scenes like this, and the department is saying, look, this is temporary accommodation. And unfortunately, when there's a need for temporary accommodation, and especially for new arrivals and where other accommodation is available, that they do have to make this decision to move people on. And so these families, including around 72 children, I understand, are largely moving to Cork, to the Trevelyan Holiday Centre there. And a department spokesperson said to me that was really to try, recognising that, you know, people had become almost a network, as it were, in this hotel. However, you heard there that some people are moving to Limerick, and Evans piece there, and we also heard that that woman had a dog, and I understand that's why people were sent to alternative accommodation in Limerick. People with pets are being sent to this accommodation in Bruff in Limerick, but I heard from one source that that may be dormitory style accommodation, so that may be quite a change from people's own hotel rooms, which of course they had been used to. A small group also, I understand, were taken to Donegal, but this is like a very small minibus or taxi, and then one family is moving to Bray in County Wicklow, I understand that they found out on Friday really where they were going to be moving and when, and there was some confusion about, for example, you know, families being split up, that kind of thing, but I understand that IPAS officials were on site all day today, and they were working, for example, with the South Dublin County Partnership, who had representatives there, on things like, would families be split up? And my understanding is that no family was, that kind of any administrative errors that might have led to that were addressed. Also things that, like, people who had serious medical conditions and may need to remain close to doctors or hospitals in Dublin were permitted to stay, and also people who were due to move into pledged accommodation very soon, you know, in the coming days, it was felt, you know, it wouldn't make sense to send them to Cork or Limerick only to turn around and kind of bring them back. But also, I mean, we know that other people were very reluctant to leave. Osana Kopernik was a mother of two boys, including 10-year-old Igor, who's been attending special needs class in a school in the area, and she really wanted to stay. She said, you know, were it not for her son, who has special needs, who's been doing so well in local schools, she would be willing to move. She understands the context of that, but it's really just for her son, who needed that extra support. But unfortunately for her, she was unsuccessful in reversing that decision, and they boarded one of the buses bound for Cork this afternoon. And I understand now that it'll just be really, everyone will be settling into their new accommodation.
Just finally then, Laura, is there any clarity on what's happening to the accommodation that the Ukrainians were staying in? Who's being moved in, and why couldn't they go to the different places in Cork and Donegal and Limerick?
Yeah, well, my understanding is that this hotel has been used for Ukrainian refugees, but also for international protection applicants. And this is one of these temporary situations whereby the accommodation is hotel accommodation, and a lot of people would say that that's not accommodation, that people could live in indefinitely, and the idea really is that people be moved out into more longer term accommodation. Okay. And I understand, you know, you're going to talk about some of the pledged accommodation. There is more than 90 people going to pledged accommodation in the area, and not in the area but around the country, and Roderick O'Gorman has said around 50 of those will be kind of commutable distance from Clondalkin. Those who will be going in will be people, new arrivals, and my understanding, although it hasn't been confirmed, is that it will be international protection applicants who will be going in there, and the department has said that they do find it easier to get accommodation for Ukrainian refugees than international protection applicants, and you can see some of the resistance in some areas to international protection applicants coming, but you know, the arrival centre in City West is still, you know, beyond capacity, more than 850 people there this morning, that's more than double its capacity, and a lot of those international protection applicants who will be arriving will be spending their first few weeks sleeping on chairs and floors in City West before being moved on. So really this is a reflection of the crisis situation, but you know, it also affects very real people who've put down roots, who've made connections, and who are very sad to be packing up today.
Laura Fletcher, thank you very much for giving us that latest update. As I said, we're also joined by Angie Goff, who is a CEO of Helping Irish Hosts and has been working with the local community. And Angie, as Laura's outlined there, you know, it's the crisis of the situation really is what is happening here. The Department of Children issued a statement this morning saying transfers like these that are taking place in Clondalkin only take place where necessary. What's your response to that?
Oh, hi, Sarah. Well, obviously, it's a very emotional day for us, and it has been a very emotional week for everybody working with these, particularly the families, I have to say, and particularly the families who have young kids at school. I mean, we managed to keep one family in Clondalkin thanks to an absolute superstar legend who came forward to take one of the families in, and, you know, they can remain, but little Philippe's friends are all gone now all around the country, all the kids he was planning to have Christmas with and all the other things. I mean, we know it's not possible for everybody to be accommodated in Dublin and for everybody to have their own homes. We're all far enough down that road, and with our homeless figures and everything else, we know it is a really, really tough situation that the state finds itself in and that these people find themselves in. And it just takes one person like that lovely man from Clondalkin who can forward to host that family, and then another comes forward and another comes forward, and thankfully 78 of the people who were on the list have now been hosted in families. Helping Irish Host found 14 pledges in Dublin and activated them. Just brilliant people who've opened their homes to people, and another family gone to Blessington and Wicklow to live with an Irish family now for the next 6 months or so, and to hopefully, and from our experience, we know that that's the best kind of start that you can actually have.
Because your organisation has found 16 homes in Dublin for these families who had been living in the hotel in Clondalkin. Were those homes, were they already in train as such, or were they new hosts that came forward?
Some were and some weren't. So we do a lot of social media asks. We took two families onto prime time. We are very grateful to RTE for giving us a bit of airtime, because we're new and nobody knows outside of this situation who Helping Irish Hosts are. So we did activate a good few new pledges for this, because we knew that for us, we're all hosts, and we want people to stay in the community. It's particularly hard to keep people in Dublin, but we know that there are lots of people in Dublin who've signed up whose pledges haven't been activated, or who they've been told the property's not suitable, or whatever, they've been waiting so long that their pledge just hasn't been taken up. And often those people who come to us afresh, they're somewhere in the ether on another list,
And they haven't managed.
Come to us and,
What about shared accommodation then? Is that an aspect that could play a bigger role in all of this? And can you explain to us what is shared accommodation as opposed to the other type of accommodation that's being offered?
Well, that's what we do. It's shared accommodation. It's people like me, it's people like the other staff now in this office, and all our volunteers. We're all hosts, pretty much. We're all people who opened our doors over the past 8 months, and we have families living with us. And we're so passionate about it, Sarah, that we set up this organisation, and we've put now over 1,000, we've facilitated and supported matches for over 1,000 Ukrainians in over 400 shared homes and a few vacant homes, but mostly shared. And we're all chipping along in a new way of life for us. But at least we're getting this opportunity to have an impact in a humanitarian crisis, and we'll look back on this war and we'll ask ourselves, what did we do? And we'll feel like, well, we did this, and we opened our doors and we let somebody come stay with us, and we deal with the fallout of it, and we also deal with the pure, beautiful joy of it as well, and the gorgeous human experience it is to, be able to support our fellow humans at a time like this, and wish that somebody would do it for us. And there are loads of people out there who still want to do it, and there's loads of people who in January will step up and do it when maybe others who've been doing it for 8 or 9 months need their houses back. But we know that this is a real, it's such an Irish response, and there's loads of people who want to do it. And I used to work at Special Olympics there back in 2003, when the whole country opened up their doors to people coming from all around the world to stay, only for a month, but it was the same kind of spark, and it was the thing that sparked this for us at Helping Irish Hosts, that we know that there are people, because we are those people, all over the country who are ready to do it.
Okay.
And we're ready to take them and ready to activate them and ready to get people the uncertainty and into certainty, so that they can start their lives here or somewhere else, like wherever it is. We help them go. We as people help them go to the next step in their journey, wherever that is.
Angie, listen, thank you so much for joining us this evening. That's Angie Goff, CEO of Helping Irish Hosts. You can let us know what you think to 51551.